Welcome back. For those of you joining us just now, I'm Ethan Elkind, and this is Your Call's weekly media roundtable. We're podcasting the show. You can find out more information on our website via kalw.org. Click on news and you'll see our program listed there. And you can also listen to past shows and subscribe to our podcast via iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Also want to remind listeners that if you have a show idea for us, you can drop us a line anytime at yourcall@kalw.org. And you can join the conversation today by calling 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255, or email any thoughts, questions, observations you have as we talk about the conflict, the war in Gaza, and the impact on Palestinian journalists there. You can email us at yourcall@kalw.org. And now we'll turn to the subject of Gaza to discuss a powerful new documentary called Gaza Journalists Under Fire. The film tells the harrowing story of three journalists who were killed by the Israeli military while covering this devastating war taking place in their homeland. Now, since the start of the war in Gaza in October of 2023, more than 200 journalists and media workers have been killed by Israeli forces, making it the deadliest conflict for journalists ever recorded. And I want to go ahead and play a clip of the trailer from the documentary Gaza Journalists Under Fire. Here's that trailer.
Such a massacre against journalists in such a short period of time is unprecedented.
Journalists have been deliberately targeted. That would constitute a war crime.
Since no foreign journalists are allowed in unless they are embedded with the Israeli army, these local journalists are the eyes and ears of the world.
Bilal was known as the father of the Palestinian press.
رجال الإعلام جنود بلا بنادق من أجل إيصال الحقيقة.
معا نحو بيئة خالية من العنف.
Hiba was killed in her home in an Israeli airstrike with her 5-year-old daughter.
Imagine if this was your father, or if this was your sister, or your brother, or your son.
It's just devastating to sit back and see it happen.
Much of what is happening there has been done with U.S. weapons.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip. We'll own it.
نقل هذه الصورة قد يؤدي في أي لحظة إلى فقدان الحياة.
A clear intention by the Israeli army to impose a media blackout on Gaza by rendering journalism a deadly profession.
So you just heard the trailer for the new documentary, Gaza Journalists Under Fire. The audio is so powerful. I want to go ahead and welcome Robert Greenwald to the show. Robert is the founder and president of Brave New Films, a nonprofit production company that creates and distributes investigative, political, and social justice documentaries. He is a director and producer on many documentaries, including Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and Iraq for Sale, The War Profiteers, and his latest is the work Gaza, Journalists Under Fire. You can find out more information about the documentary on our website at kalw.org. Good to have you back on the program, Robert. Thank you for making this really powerful and eye-opening documentary.
Thank you for having me on and helping to spread the word and let people know it's out there, it's available, and it's free. And the most important thing is people like all of your listeners working, arranging, activating, motivating, and using the film to change this horrific, horrible policy that the U.S. is funding.
And I just do want to remind listeners that we do have a link to that documentary on our website at kalw.org. Well, Robert, it's very hard to watch this documentary, but obviously such an important story to tell. And there's obviously a lot of angles to cover in terms of what's happening right now in Gaza. But what motivated you to focus specifically on what's been happening with Palestinian journalists there?
There was two assumptions I made when I decided to go forward against, by the way, almost all the conventional advice encouraging me not to do it because we'd be criticized, we'd be attacked, we'd lost funders, all of which has happened. But I couldn't be prouder of the fact that we as a nonprofit went ahead and made the film. The reason I focused on journalists, there were two reasons, one of which I think has turned out to be correct, and one of which has been a complete failure, in which I hope your listeners will help turn around. The correct assumption was that we could reach with this framework, with this story, with these very, very human people, women, men, journalists, and by the way, over 220 or 230 have been killed now. We chose three to focus on because with the extraordinary work of the Small Brave New Films team, we researched. We went into their social media. My goal, my job, my framework was, could we bring these journalists alive by using the social media, by seeing their children, their relatives, their friends, birthday parties? And I think we have done that. And I think we've been, we're almost at 700 free. Remember, free screenings all over the world right now, including Gaza, including the West Bank, including South Africa, but we are having a very hard time because of the second assumption was I believed that if we took the approach and focused on these heroic and courageous and patriotic journalists who were being murdered, the press, the traditional mainstream corporate media would write about it. But it's been, we have failed 100% in convincing them to do so. So we rely on listeners, viewers, activists, faith community people, educators, you name it. We're trying to get the film to them to use forced screening for awareness and for encouraging people to take action. Silence is complicity, as we say at the end of the film, and every single person can do something. If you go to Brave New Films, have a screening, have it with three people, with 30 people, with 300 people. We've had it all across the board. And then action can happen and will happen. Because remember, this war would end in a minute if the United States stopped subsidizing Israel's military policies.
And the film, it opens with a very powerful, rapid black and white montage of reporters who have been killed, followed by a siren wailing. The caption reads 178 journalists and media workers killed in the Israel-Gaza war and counting. And as you noted, you focused really on the story of three journalists, you know, to really sort of humanize them and their families so that these aren't just numbers. And as representative of all the lives who have been lost trying to cover this story, can you talk specifically about the reporter involved in the Press House Palestine and the significance of that institution for Palestinian and foreign reporters who were using it before the war to connect with their Palestinian colleagues?
Yes, well, Press House was an institution, an organization that was dedicated to many of the values we believe in: liberty, justice, education, freedom, training reporters. And not only was the reporter murdered, but the press house was destroyed. And we have a clip in the film. One of his colleagues went to the site of where Press House had been. And at that site, he says, this is where Bilal's office was. This is where these other people worked. And he did that on his own. We reached out and said, would you like to be part of the film? I mean, you can imagine the courage and the amount of effort it took to do something like that in Gaza. But he did. And we got that footage. We got the footage from one of the women journalists we cover. Her sister went and said she would do anything because she wanted to keep the memory of her sister alive. Mm-hmm. And this next sentence, I can't believe that I'm saying, but this woman, Sabine, whose sister was Heba, 56 of her relatives were killed. Grandmothers, uncles, aunts, cousins, nieces, nephews. And she still was able to come forward, create a video for us, send it to us. We have not heard from her in 2 to 3 weeks. I just hope she's okay.
Yeah, it's just unfathomable. We're speaking with Robert Greenwald, who is the founder and president of Brave New Films, a nonprofit production company that creates and distributes investigative, political, and social justice documentaries. And we're talking to him about his new film, Gaza, Journalists Under Fire. I'm going to go ahead and open the phone lines. If any of you have had a chance yet to see the film or have questions about the state of journalism, such as it is in Gaza right now, given this war, the number to call to join the conversation is 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. Or go ahead and email us at yourcall@kalw.org. Now, in addition to journalists who have been killed in the conflict, you also describe how 84 journalists have been detained. Can you just talk about what's happening to these journalists now? What's the state of these journalists in detention?
Well, unfortunately, because Israel will not allow any international journalists to come in unless they embed with the Israeli army. So we have no idea what is going on. And Israel has done this horrible combination of killing many of the Palestinian journalists, refusing to allow in international journalists. And therefore, up until very recently, with the awful starvation, there's been the only place that people could go, turn to, would be the Israeli army. And they, tragically, have lied over and over and over again about what is going on, and has said everyone who disagrees with them is either an anti-Semite or is a member of Hamas. They accused one of the journalists of having trained with Hamas, but somebody went out and did the research. That journalist would have been 10 years old. So we don't know what the status of those who've been arrested is currently, because we can't get that information. And one of the simple arguments when Israel says this, that, or the other thing, or the Israeli army says this, that, or the other thing, well, let journalists in to objectively observe and report. But they refuse to do that. And that is both outrageous and allows them to continue to distort and lie. And that's why it's so important to have journalists telling stories, not that they're perfect, but because there's been no accountability. And if journalists were in, there's a significant opportunity for naming names, calling out those who are responsible on a policy level or a practical level for what is going on in Gaza.
And is there any precedent in other conflicts of having a ban on any international media covering a conflict here? Are there precedents that Israel is citing that we can even recall in recent history?
No, not that I am aware of. And the excuse they give, and this is, if it weren't so tragic, is almost laughable. The excuse they give, and I've seen several of the representatives on talk shows say, well, we don't want to let the international journalists in because we're worried about their safety. And I don't even have the words to describe that level of hypocrisy and distortion. But no, there is no precedent. And again, a reminder, that's why I hope your listeners will sign up, will arrange screenings, will help spread the word. We're on all the social media platforms, short clips, long clips, full film if you sign up. This will be a step towards accountability. And Bernie Sanders, who's been extraordinary on this issue, has been advocating. Yesterday there was a vote, there was some progress. 17 Democratic senators voted to cut off some funding. So there's movement. The polls have moved radically in a short period of time, particularly younger folks. So as brutal a fight as it is, as painful as it is, as immoral as what we're seeing is, there really is progress. And all of our jobs, roles, we don't want to be people who said, oh, we didn't know or we couldn't do anything. There is something that every single person can do.
Yes. And, you know, as you watch this documentary, it's impossible not to come to the conclusion that these journalists are being deliberately targeted by the Israeli military. Now, I gather the Israeli military might deny that, but I mean, what is the logic of targeting these journalists? Is Israel making any claim that Hamas has been using press outfits and identifiers to, you know, further their conflict? I mean, what could possibly be the rationale for what feels like deliberate targeting of media representatives in Gaza?
The consistent attack has been they're working for Hamas or they're Hamas adjacent. But think about this for a minute. Hundreds of Palestinian journalists have been killed. When Israel targets individuals in Iran, and they can find them in their kitchen and blow up and kill. But yet here we have, by the way, not only hundreds of journalists, thousands and thousands of children who've been killed, hundreds and maybe thousands of healthcare workers have been killed. They are destroying the country. It is a genocide. It is a war crime. There will be a price to be paid. But in the meantime, it's so important to spread the word. And that's why I'm so appreciative of the funders, the foundations, the individuals who give us $5 to more, that the film is free. So money does not become an object, does not become a barrier to people seeing the film, using the film, using it to go at their elected representatives, to go at their local media, to go at their schools, at their faith communities. Any and all of these institutions and places can be valuable and can be important, and everybody can do something.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Ethan Elkind, and we're speaking with Robert Greenwald, founder and president of Brave New Films, about his latest documentary, Gaza Journalists Under Fire. The phone lines are open if you have questions for Robert, thoughts about what the U.S. should be doing to ensure that journalists are not being killed in Gaza. And the number to call to join the conversation, 866-798-TALK. That's 866-798-8255. And also you can email us at yourcall@kalw.org. We have an email in. Art in San Francisco asks, Mr. Greenwald, is your film being seen inside Israel? And also, could you please explain why and how Israel controls what its own public sees and hears and reads about the starvation in Gaza?
We have had some screenings in Israel already. We are working to have more. You may have seen the recent articles where the public opinion in Israel is shifting to Israeli organizations. Just came out and said, yes, this is genocide. We hope to have many more screenings in Israel. Part of it has been a resource problem because we're very small and it requires somebody to reach out. We've had it translated, but it requires someone to reach out, to make contact. If any of your listeners have friends, relatives, enemies, colleagues in Israel, please, by all means, reach out to them, offer them the film, encourage them to see it and screen it. And we hope there will be many, many more viewings of it all around Israel. The way they control the media in Israel is not dissimilar from what we've experienced in the United States. To some degree, although I must say that recently there's been a lot stronger, better investigative work. I think the images of the starving, particularly children, has broken through, thanks to the courage again of many Palestinians who take their phones and record and post on Instagram, which has been an amazing source for information. But what Israel has done is they control some of the elected officials in Bibi's government, make sure the media is under control, they give them specific stories, and there is a tremendous level of multi-generational hate and trauma. There's a very good documentary called Israelism, which shows how the teaching goes back and the propagandizing so that you then today have soldiers shooting, killing, abusing, and laughing at it on videos, Israeli soldiers, that they make and then post. So it's a tough problem. Mm-hmm. It's horrific, the level of racism, which is, by the other way, the other reason I decided to pick three journalists and humanize them as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Not that that will solve all problems, but it certainly will help break down the notion of any good Palestinian is a dead Palestinian, Palestinians are all terrorists, and show these are living, breathing human beings.
Well, let's go to the phone line. Suma is dialing in from San Francisco. Suma, welcome to the show. Do we have Suma? Not sure if we have Suma online here. All right. Well, maybe we'll see if we can get Suma back on. So I wanted to ask about accountability here, particularly for Western news organizations. What are they doing to try to protect colleagues in the media?
Well, Western news media do not have reporters, or very few of them have reporters in Gaza, because Israel will not allow them in. What I had hoped would happen, and I think there's a little bit of an indication it's slowly beginning, is other media organizations speaking out in general about journalists being killed, about the need to provide safety for journalists. There's a scene in the movie which made my blood chill when I first was sent to me by one of my colleagues who found it online, which shows Palestinian journalists taking off the press vests, which are clearly marked press, and throwing them in a pile one after another because they were being those press vests and identification and press vehicles were being used to easily target those very journalists who it was meant to protect.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phone lines. I think we have Suma on now. So Suma, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. Please continue.
Okay, so I was listening to you and I heard you say that, you know, we should spread the word. On my context, I live in this country on a green card. I follow the news and sorry to say, but American media cover this issue a lot less than most other international media. And when you say spread the word, I am afraid to speak about this on my social media, on my professional network, because I would be accused of anti-Semitism. Also, people who are on any sort of immigration situation in this country, even without that, are living under fear. So why do you think, is that the reason a lot of people don't talk about it, not just immigrants, just anybody in this country, because anti-Semitism is not an accusation you want to deal with?
Yeah, absolutely, Suma. Well, I really appreciate that question. Robert, your thoughts?
Yes, thank you very much. A couple of thoughts. Number one, as a Jewish New Yorker, former New Yorker, the notion of anybody who disagrees with this horrific genocide is anti-Semitic is beyond disgusting. In fact, those of you who've signed up on our Brave New Films social media, I just finished working on a very short video, which is called Who Are the Anti-Semites, in which we quote numerous people high up in the Israeli former Israeli government or in the military or in Mossad, all of whom are against the war. I'm hoping that will at least get the press to back off of this terrible notion that anybody who's critical is anti-Semitic. In terms of the substance of what and how you can do something in an environment where people are being arrested, deported, and more, there are ways to do this anonymously. And I would never advise anyone to do something that would put them personally in danger that they're not able to handle. But certainly the film can be sent to people, the film can be used, meetings can be arranged, and that local officials can be engaged in a way that can protect identity when it's necessary. Now, it's horrible to have to say that and think that, but that's the reality, and your caller has brought that up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but we're just out of time. Robert Greenwald, just want to thank you so much for putting this film together, Gaza Journalists Under Fire, and joining us here on Your Calls Media Roundtable.
Thank you for having me. We can only spread the word with people like you all getting the word out there and helping us reach people.
And I just want to let listeners know, we did just get word that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will be shutting down next month. We're going to discuss it on Your Call on Wednesday coming up. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening. Malihe Razazan produced today's show. Kevin Vance is our studio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Ethan Elkind. It's Your Call.
BBC News with